morning, everybody. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble. And also, we have our special guest, which I almost forgot. I never get the... Fred Malone with the Historical Society is here. And I always think of him as the third Thursday of the month. Well, the first Thursday of this month was the first day of the month. And that threw me off. So yeah, so now we have five Thursdays. Now I'm going to get confused with James, our naturalist, who comes in on the last Thursday, and I keep thinking.
Yeah, you know, that happens a couple of times a year. We have five Thursdays a couple times throughout the year.
Twice,
and you're at least twice. It might be three times, and you're not the only one. Charlie used to do it too.
Well, I
we'd get mixed up, you know, or he would, or I would.
And he's an idol of mine. That's why I let.
Yeah,
absolutely. Talk through the public service announcements just like him.
Absolutely, and I'll mention it. Of course, I'm in studio today for the first time
are.
In months.
Yeah,
so
people can call.
Yeah,
in
we encourage people to call in and participate. Yeah.
And if you want to call in, it's 740-383-9944. And Elish, if you want to call in and sing that song, the Toys R Us song,
sure.
We'll listen.
Absolutely. Does she know all the verses?
I don't know.
I know the first verse, but that's about it.
Scott browbeat her for a day and a half
to do that.
Yeah. Hey, well, you got some announcements.
Yeah,
to
I
make.
Do. Let's I want to mention a couple things for the Marion County Historical Society. First off, I'll say we are open. For the summer, we opened a couple of months ago.
Do you have to wear masks or?
Do not.
Okay.
No, you do not. We still have COVID protocols in place. I mean, we have the sanitation stations set up throughout the museum. We still encourage people to keep their distance. You know,
sure.
Try to stay a safe distance unless you're with a group that you're familiar with. And
yeah.
Of course, we encourage people to come that are fully vaccinated. We would rather have fully vaccinated than non-vaccinated.
Sure.
I don't want to discriminate against anybody, but we encourage that. So, but other than that, we're open Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 4. The gift shop is open. Most of our gift shop now is books. We used to carry a lot of trinkets and things like that, but we found, Glenn, that they really just didn't sell.
Yeah,
and
I can
because
see that.
Most of our clientele, I guess I could call them clientele visitors, are older people or adults. Mm-hmm. We occasionally get some kids that come along too.
And those of us older folks, we have plenty of trinkets.
We do, and of course, most people that are history oriented like to read, or at least like to study history. So, we have a lot of books on local history available, and that's primarily what our gift shop is.
You've had a couple of book signings over there.
Yes, we have. In fact, we used to do an annual book signing up until a couple of years ago. We had it we always usually close the first weekend in December when we had our annual meeting, and we would be open that day and have several local authors in there. So, in fact, at one time, we had as many as 20 local authors.
Oh, my goodness.
There. Now, that includes not just Marion, but the surrounding area. We had a couple of people from Mansfield that came in. I had Dr. Bush from up at Heidelberg University who studies Johnson's Island and usually does archaeological work up there with some of his students. He had written a book, and so we had him in once, and just a nice group of authors, but unfortunately we haven't done that for quite some time. We should probably bring that back.
It's always fun.
Yeah,
because we had one at the credit union, and we had several people.
Oh, yeah, and since we had our last one, which has probably been at least 5-6 years ago, there have been some more new books that have come out on the market that were written by local people. Of course, Randy Winland has that book that came out last year on Crystal Lake, and there was a book written about the palace and all the other theaters. Scott, and I can't remember Scott's last name, a local attorney, wrote that book. So there have been some other books that have
I'll get my son to
come. Yeah, and he's a science fiction writer. Yeah
he's got
a local guy, basically a local guy. Doesn't live here anymore, but still.
Never did, unfortunately.
Still a local guy. But anyway, so we are open Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4, so stop in. But I wanted to mention two events that are coming up, and you can get tickets for those now. Lunch with the First Ladies, our annual luncheon. You know, we have the dinner with the presidents.
Right.
So a few years ago, we thought, hey, we ought to have a luncheon with the First Ladies.
Absolutely.
And let the First Ladies speak, you know.
Of course.
So this, I think, is our fourth or fifth ladies luncheon. And that's going to be held Saturday, August the 7th at 11 a.m. at Tri Rivers Auditorium.
Now, do you get a lot of women that
we
come
do.
To that?
We do.
Yeah.
We get mostly women. We do get a few men.
Uh-huh.
And we encourage men to come.
Uh-huh.
It's not just a women's event. event. You know, the first year we did it, we had all women, and I kept saying, hey, this is not just for women. Mm-hmm. We want the men to attend, too, because they can learn something from these first ladies.
So they sit around and smoke cigars.
Well,
maybe not.
Maybe drink a little sherry. I don't know.
There you go.
But this year I've got Jackie Kennedy. Should be a big draw. Margaret McCall Smith Taylor.
Okay.
The wife of Zachary Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Abigail Smith Adams, of course, the wife of John Adams. And Jane Appleton Pierce.
Okay.
And so that's Franklin Pierce.
A couple of very famous ones and a couple of not so
famous
ones.
And actually, you know, when you talk about Zachary Taylor and Franklin Pierce, not a lot of people know too much about the presidents,
right.
Although we have had both of those presidents at our dinners before, and they've spoken. And so I think it'll be nice to hear from the women.
Yeah,
absolutely. To get their point of view, especially Mrs. Pierce, because they had kind of an unusual occurrence happen to them on their way to the White House. They were on a train on their way to Washington, and the train wrecked.
Oh, lovely.
Went off the tracks and wrecked. They had their youngest boy with them, and I forget his name at this point, but he was... the train accident took the top of his head off.
Oh.
So he was killed in the train accident.
Oh.
So she spent the entire 4 years of their presidency in mourning.
Yeah.
Did very few events at the White House. Actually had a couple of stand-ins that would come in for state dinners and that type of thing. So it'll be very interesting to hear her talk about her time in the White House,
mm-hmm.
What it was like to be 4 years in mourning and without her son.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Tragic accident. Yeah. I mean, on their way to the inauguration and the train wreck. So, yeah, it's a real sad story. So, again, that's Saturday, August the 7th at 11 a.m., Tri Rivers Auditorium. We'll have our caterers from Upper Sandusky who have done all of our events, with the exception of the very first one years and years ago. But it'll be a buffet-style luncheon. All of the... items on the buffet will be taken from the White House cookbooks that these particular first ladies enjoyed while they were in the White House.
What was the date again?
August the 7th. It's a Saturday at 11 a.m. And you can still get tickets. Actually, I think the tickets are going to be on sale up through July the 30th. We have to cut it off about a week ahead so that our caterer can make sure that she has all the ingredients. Some of these original recipes call for some pretty strange things.
Really, yeah.
Especially the earlier presidents, mm-hmm. when you're talking about, the mid-1800s or even before. Sometimes you get some interesting things and some interesting names for the items that they have.
Huh.
I don't know what the menu is. I think the girls are working on it right now at the museum. We have a nice collection of White House cookbooks. I know they've got probably at least a half a dozen or a dozen different recipe books that were taken right from the original recipes. So they try to come up with something different all the time,
mm-hmm.
and rotate that around. So again, Saturday, August the 7th, 11 a.m. You can call the museum at 740-387-4255 or stop by the office Monday through Friday, or when the museum is open Wednesday through Sunday, and you can get tickets right there at the gift shop as well.
Cool.
I'm sorry, I don't know what the price is. I figured you were going to ask me, but...
I was about to.
I didn't double check to see. I want to say $25, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
But for what you're getting a great meal, and you're getting a really good history lesson. And it's always nice when you get history in first person, because I think it sticks in people's minds more.
Is the caterer the one from Upper Sandusky?
It is, yes. We've used the same lady.
I've used her several times.
For years. The very first dinner we had down at Waldo, and they did the catering for us. But since we moved out of Waldo and started doing them in different venues, we brought this lady in from Upper Sandusky, and she's excellent. She's excellent. She does a fantastic job in coming up with items to match some of the things called for, because sometimes you can't find some of these things.
Yeah,
turnip greens and things like that.
Hard to find,
right.
Yeah.
So she does a great day. And again, last day for ticket sales, July 30th.
What's your phone number again? Make sure
740-387-4255. They can go online at marionhistory.com, and you can order them and do PayPal.
Okay,
so you can buy them that way, too. No tickets sold at the door, obviously, because we have to have an exact number for the caterer. So get your tickets early, and there's actually no seating with the first ladies. The first ladies will be seated at a... speakers table in the front. So if you've got a group of people, you know, you can, I think they set six or eight to a table. So if you've got a group, you can bring a group and sit together.
I assume you have like a question and answer or meet the.
We do. We have a meet and greet when people come in. The first ladies will be lined up and, you know, to greet you. And we always let the first ladies go through the buffet line first. And then when they're finished, they'll mingle around the tables as you're finishing your lunch. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, we have photo ops.
Cool.
So it's just really a great event. It's kind of an abbreviated version of the Dinner with the Presidents that we have in November.
Great.
And we'll talk more about that event as we get closer to the fall. But tickets are also on sale right now for the Dinner with the Presidents. So
is that $25?
That's a little more expensive.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a little more expensive. So, but we'll talk more about that as that gets a little bit closer. I wanted to mention another big event that we've got coming up in October. It's a capital campaign kickoff. We are attempting to raise up to $1 million for capital improvements on the Heritage Hall, on the old post office building built in 1910. Obviously, it needs a continual work, and we need to concentrate on our tile roof right now. It's very expensive to work on. Obviously, we do not want to take off the old tile roof.
Yeah, that'd be...
We want to preserve it because it is part of the history of the building.
And it makes it look right.
It does. And there are only a few certain companies that do that type of work. My home church is Our Lady of Consolation in Cary. And we have a tile roof on that church, and that was done about 10 years ago, and that company came out of Toledo. And I can tell you that that type of work is not cheap.
Yeah, sure.
So
the tile itself is expensive.
Yes, and we are fortunate in our third floor attic of the building that I'd someday like to open up for archives, which is another story. We do have a lot of tile accumulated up there.
Good
that were unused.
We
have some broken and wet, but we have some unused.
So repairs can be made,
so,
if necessary.
Right. But depends on how much of that roof we have to replace. Mm-hmm. I know there are some cracked tiles and broken tiles up there. I've been on the roof several times. And
the tile, maybe it won't break.
Well, there's a nice walkway around that you're kind of walking in the gutter that you can see up there. So, and that's a rubberized thing. But a great view of Marion from our roof. Man, a nice place to go up and take a look once in a while.
It would scare
me. See a lot of things that are going on in town.
I'm scared just hearing you talking about it.
Well, I don't like heights either, so believe me, it's a challenge for me to go up there. So.
It would be for me.
But that's the main objective, and then there are some other things that need to be done to the museum. We need some repair in some of the walls, and just general, I mean, after all, the building was built in 1910. It had an addition added in the 60s, and we've tried to keep it up. We put a new boiler in about 5 years ago, but, you know, obviously it takes a lot of money, and we're not flush.
I'm going to throw this out there. If somebody would come in and say, I want to do offer the entire $1 million, would you rename the the society
we
or
would
the,
probably
the building?
We would probably include the name in the building's name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's been
called Heritage Hall since the building was bought in 1884, simply because it's keeping the heritage of Marion County.
Sure. It's a good name.
Yeah. But if John Doe would come in and say, I'll give you $1 million for the whole project, we could call it the Doe Heritage, building. So, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all, and I don't think anybody else would either.
I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Sure.
You never know who's listening.
Sure. Well, you know, maybe one of these guys that sponsors these sports facilities.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, like the Dolans up in Cleveland or somebody like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is our big capital campaign kickoff. It's going to be October the 16th. It is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's going to be a 1920s theme because currently our exhibit, which was closed most of 2020, we kept that exhibit, tweaked it a little bit, added some things to it. But that exhibit is based on the 1920s. So
and that's
we're still
when Harding was president.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the year he was elected president. So 1921, this would be his first year in office.
Yeah.
So we're keeping that theme of the 1920s. Mr. and Mrs. Harding will be there. President and Mrs. Harding will be there. I've got Cole Porter coming. He was very popular in the 20s. And Groucho Marx.
That's wonderful.
Very popular in the 20s and 30s. He, of course, coming off vaudeville in the teens and then starting to do some movies in the late 20s
and early
30s.
I bet he asked a lot of money.
Yes, well, he was a little hard to dig up, and a lot of other people that were connected with Marion history will be there as well. Cool. Mrs. Creeder from the Creeder Popcorn Company will be there. So, and of course, we have a lot of Creeder machines in our popcorn museum, Museum. Cool. So, she'll be there to talk about the popcorn machines and that type of thing. But this is an adult only event. There is a new establishment in town called, I think it's called the Drinkery, down on Main Street, on North Main Street. And they kind of specialize in 1920s drinks. So we're going to do a 1920s and Skidoo, they used to call. So if you've got beaver coats, wear your coats, you know, wear your
might be a little warm.
Your furs and all that. That is going to be $50 per person, obviously, to help build up our... get a kickoff on our campaign, but we'll have heavier hors d'oeuvres and, of course, 1920s drinks available from the from the drinkery.
What was the most popular drink in the 20s?
You know, I really don't know. I'm going to say probably martinis.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Or I think they drank a lot of Canadian clubs, so probably 7-7 would have been a popular drink.
Maybe gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic, absolutely, because they made bathtub gin during Prohibition. So I would imagine some of those types of things. I know this place has a couple of drinks that are tied directly to President Harding. So
that'd be cool.
It should be a lot of fun, really. Yeah. And with the reenactors being there to engage with those people that attend and have conversation, I'm trying. I haven't got this nailed down yet. But with both Mr. and Mrs. Harding, President Mrs. Harding being there, I'm going to try to have Nan Britton make an appearance, which should be very interesting because Nan Britton obviously was one of the president's lady friends.
Are you expecting a fight between?
Could be. You never know what might happen. I mean, you know, Florence kind of grew up as a tomboy, so you know she might take offense to having Nan Britton there.
Might.
And Nan Britton has made an appearance at our United Heritage Hall years ago, so I'm hoping I can encourage her to show up. And of course, with the events that unfolded a few years ago, that the DNA proved that Harding did father a child with Nan Britton.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. Invited him. He's been pretty vocal this past year.
The grandson?
Yeah.
I would love to have the grandson there. In fact, I'm going to talk to Scott about getting a phone number from him.
Yeah, Scott knows him pretty well.
And giving him an invitation. I've spoken to him on the phone before over the radio, so I'm kind of interested to
see
if he would
be. Where did you find a reenactor for Cole Porter?
Personal friend of mine who actually was originally a Marion boy who lives in Delaware.
Okay.
And this will be a young Cole Porter, so
the 20s. I assume he's a magician. I mean, yeah.
A musician. He can sing a little bit. So he will do an excellent job. He will do an excellent job. And, of course, in the 20s, Cole Porter was still in his 20s, early 30s, so should be very interesting. I'm looking forward to it. And, again, as I say, we'll have some other local people besides those notable people that people will remember to talk about some local things that were going on in the 20s here then too.
Cool.
So again, that's October the 16th, 6 to 9 p.m. at the museum, adults only. And it's a ticketed event, and you have to have a ticket ahead of time. And again, you can get those tickets now. They are $50 a piece. And again, this is a capital campaign kickoff fundraiser, so that's why the tickets are a little high.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a perfect.
It should be a great opportunity. And again, you can stop in the museum Monday through Friday. If the museum is not open, go to the State Street side, ring the bell, they'll let you in, sell you a ticket, or you can come Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 4 and get your ticket in the gift shop.
Okay.
Either way, so
sounds like fun.
Yeah, so those are the two things I wanted to mention about the Historical Society. And again, wants to mention that we are open, again, Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4. And I want to say those tickets are $4 and $5, four for seniors and five for general admission. And then there's a cheaper price for kids, and then under a certain age you're in for free. But and you always get two museums from the price of one because you not only get all of Marion's history, you get the Wind-Up Popcorn Museum for free.
Yeah.
And that's the only one of its kind in the world. And that's why we like to really promote that. It's under the Big Top. If you've never been there before, there's a full-size circus tent inside the building that houses all these machines. And
I keep threatening my wife.
You have an open invitation. I'll give you a personal tour anytime you two want to come.
Well,
I know she's been a little bit COVID concerned. So
she's been very COVID.
So, we can do something in the morning or anything like that.
She's starting to be a little bit flexible now. Yeah. So maybe we'll get her down.
Well, actually, I've invited my Malabar Board Foundation, my Malabar Farm Foundation board, to come to our museum at our August meeting and have our meeting in the auditorium there, and then take a tour.
I didn't know there was an auditorium.
Yes, we have an auditorium that we rent out. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I want to say it's $50 or $60 to rent.
Oh, that's dirt cheap.
It doesn't seat a lot of people. I think the 75 is the limit in there, something like that. But it's great for small groups.
Yeah.
It's great for showers, wedding showers, baby showers, things like that.
Maybe I'll get my folk trio together and we'll do a hootenanny.
Oh, I tell you, we'd love it. We'd love it, absolutely. There's a small kitchen there. So there's a sink there, microwave, and a coffee pot. And,
cool.
And, so it makes a great place for that.
Well,
so
I want to remind people, you can call in and talk to Fred today. He's been on the phone because of COVID for the last several months.
Yeah, right.
Since
the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's here now, so if you have questions, now we don't. This isn't one of the shows where I beg for people to call in. But if you do want to call in,
absolutely, don't hesitate.
Yeah, please don't. 740-383-9944. And now I guess we're talking about movies.
Well, I don't know how we even happened upon this. I think you were talking about a movie. Last month on one of your shows, and I happened to call in about the one that Louis Brumfield had written that became a movie. We were talking about The Rains Came, and I've got want to talk about that a little bit more as we go along. But I got to thinking, we talk about history all the time, and movies are history too.
They are history.
Movies,
absolutely.
And early TV shows.
Absolutely.
And so today, I thought we would talk mostly about earlier movies.
Sure.
You know, like 30s, 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, early 60s. And then concentrate maybe on early TV shows, especially the ones that were popular in the 50s and early 60s. Because
Jack Parr and that type of thing.
That was the things that you and I were kind of watching when we were younger, having grown up in that time period.
My favorite TV show back in that era, you have never heard of, Winky Dink.
Winky Dink. Was that a local show?
It was local out of Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Winky Dink was a puppet, I believe, but there are a lot of puppets on the shows.
Well, and when you said Winky Dink, that reminded me of a show that I had not written down, Howdy Doody.
Yeah.
Which was, actually, I think that show came out of Chicago as well.
I think Winky Dink was kind of a fall off of
Okay, well, that happened quite a bit, and of course,
I still remember the song. Winky Dink and you, Winky Dink and me, and that's all I remember.
Okay, well, hey, and there were a lot of local shows like that. Now, since we're talking, and I wrote down a whole bunch of things, so I wouldn't forget. And then I've got three or four pages of movies. I don't know whether we'll cover everything or not.
He's
today.
He's got an encyclopedia of movies.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm sure this happens to a lot of people our age, Glenn. Maybe you can think about something now, but 5 minutes later, you've forgotten it.
Oh, 20 seconds later.
So last night, after you and I had talked on the phone, I started jotting down all these different TV shows and these movies because they were coming to my mind right away. And
I'm glad you did.
If I don't write them down, then tomorrow morning when I get there, I'll forget them. And then I'm going to kick myself because I can't think of anything. But Howdy Doody just popped into my mind when you said that. And, of course, Howdy Doody had Clarabelle on that is true to the thing. And of course, Buffalo Bob.
Yeah, Buffalo Bob
was the host.
Yeah.
And
I think he was forever, was he not?
He was always the host. Yeah. I don't think he ever did not be the host.
Bozo the Clown.
Bozo the Clown, that just popped
WGN
into my head.
Yeah.
Just popped into
now
my head.
Now, he's
another
been
Chicago
on our
one.
Station here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The second one. Apparently, there were two.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. I think I remember the day that that Scott had him on the air.
Yeah.
And talked to him. So so I'm going to ask right now if our listeners would have a favorite local show.
Ooh, that would be good to know.
And most people in this area, of course, I grew up in Southern Ohio, so we had Channel 4, 6, and 10 coming out of Columbus. And we also got WLW out of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So a lot of local shows from Columbus to Cincinnati area. And, of course, people around here, if you had an antenna, you could pick up 4, 6, and 10 out of Columbus. You could also pick up 11 and 13 out of Toledo.
Oh.
So there were some local shows in Toledo that people might have listened to as well. So I encourage you to call in if you've got local shows that you watched when you were a kid.
We'd love to hear
about. We'd love to hear from you, of course. And, of course, everybody's favorite. See, there, it went right on my head. Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers' show.
Absolutely,
right.
And he's been,
and of course, that
staff has been on our
show. A very popular a show for kids. I remember watching that show when I was a kid, along with when my son was a kid, watching Mr. Rogers. And what a great show. What a great educational show.
And the neat thing about that is, and since he's passed, they've done more and more, you know, biographical type of things about him. It seems to me that he was truly the man you see on his show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
There
absolutely.
Was no fakeness. And, you know, you often think, Mr. Rogers, he probably goes out on the street and shoves kids down in the dirt. You know,
which didn't happen.
But he didn't.
And he was,
actually a minister. Yeah.
He was actually a minister. Yeah. I think it was a Episcopalian or Presbyterian. Do you remember?
It was right along that line. Yeah, it was a mainstream Protestant church.
Well, and since we're talking about movies, although this is an old movie, one that just came out a year or two ago, the one that Tom Hanks did where he portrayed Mr. Rogers.
Oh,
did you see that movie?
No, I have not.
That was an excellent movie. He did a wonderful job. It basically focused on one particular incident that occurred in Mr. Rogers' life. A gentleman that was a reporter for, I think, a paper in Philadelphia, Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, and he really wanted to try to expose Mr. Rogers for what he really was not. And, of course, they became very good friends, and he found out that Mr. Rogers was really who Fred Rogers was. So, and that was really kind of how the show was based around that particular incident. But there was another PBS special that came out a few years ago. It was on the big screen. My wife and I went to Columbus to see it, but it has also been broadcast on PBS since then. And it was all clips of Mr. Rogers and some of the things that occurred on the show, and kind of a background of him, talked about him and his wife. Just kind of a whole overview. And you know how PBS...
What was the name of it? I can't remember.
I want to say... something about the neighborhood. Not Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but something about the neighborhood.
Okay.
But if you just look up PBS special Fred Rogers, you'll be able to find it. And I'm sure you can get it on YouTube or one of those other streaming services now. But PBS just ran it again not too awfully long ago. So it's still in the loop, as you might say. But
cool.
Another local show that I happen to think about that I watched.
Let me stop you just one
second. Sure.
Because you asked for people to call in. And if you want to call in, 740-383-9944. Again, that's 740-383-9944. And I knew you needed a drink of coffee.
Yes,
that's
thank
why.
You very much. And I do have a couple of, I'll mention this local show first, and then I do have a couple of trivia questions.
Yeah.
If you want to put those out.
Okay.
You said you might have a couple of giveaways today.
We can give away. Let's see if I've got anything here. I know we do have.
Okay, well, let me talk about this local show I just happened to think about this morning when I was eating my breakfast. The Flippo Show out of Columbus. Now, this is probably something you don't know anything about.
I've never heard of that.
Flippo, and I can't remember his real name. If anybody knows what Flippo's real name was, I used to know, but of course I've forgotten. But it was a local show on Channel 10 out of Columbus. He was a clown. Flippo the Clown, and sometimes he had a movie that was connected with the show, but there were cartoons, and he was kind of a gag guy. Yeah, he did a lot of gag routines, slapstick stuff, the pie in the face type thing, that kind of thing. Same thing that Soupy Sales basically did. Remember Soupy Sales?
Sure,
and Thing? He would come in, you know. And so the same kind of a thing, only local show from Columbus. So if anybody remembers what his name was, I think it was Bob something, but I don't remember his last name. But if anybody remembers, just call in and fill that in.
Yeah.
I'll give you one of the trivia questions now.
And by the way, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to either the zoo... the zoo or the wild. Oh, well, wait a minute. Look, I got one more here. I think we can. No, the zoo or the wilds. And what I'm going to have to ask you to not come in today because I don't have the tickets. I got to wait until I get Scott. But we'll take your name, and tomorrow, anytime in the morning, you can come in and get these tickets.
Okay, well, I tried to come up with a couple of trivia questions that people couldn't Google.
I like that.
I want them to use their brain, and I want them to search back in their minds from when they watch these shows on TV.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got a phone call. Okay. Let's go to the phone. And hi, you're on the air with Fred Malone. How can we help you?
That was Bob Marvin.
Marvin. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, we
thank
needed
you very
that.
Much. Yeah, did you watch Flippo?
Oh, yeah.
Great show. Great show. Do you remember what year it went off by any chance?
No, I sure don't.
Yeah.
But I always remember saying at the end when he used to say, if you're ever down the dumps, bring me back a tire.
That's right. Exactly. Absolutely. I remember that now that you mentioned that. Yeah. Yeah, it was a great show. I really enjoyed that. Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for calling in and keep listening.
I'm going to jot that down. I remember his first name was Bob, and I could not think of his last name. Bob Marvin. Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you, caller. Sorry we didn't have a prize for that one.
Yeah, yeah, but that was just something I needed to know, and I thank you very much because sometimes my memory just doesn't work like it should.
I hear you.
But I tried to come up with a couple of questions, and I'll give one now, and we'll give another one a little bit later on.
We'll give one pair of zoo tickets and one pair of the Wilds tickets.
This trivia question goes back to the old Andy Griffith Show.
Okay.
Everybody remembers the Andy Griffith Show. They're actually on reruns every day.
I knew his executive producer.
You did? Really? Yeah. Personally?
He was a bobcat.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Dick, now I can't remember his last name. It will come to me.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, anyway, And here's a little quick history about the Andrew Griffith Show. The Andrew Griffith Show actually was a spinoff from the Danny Thomas Show. The very first show, Danny Thomas was traveling through this little town of Mayberry, and Andy stopped him for speeding. And from that, the Andy Griffith Show was born. So it actually came from a separate show from the Danny Thomas series.
He must have really done a good job of pulling
him
over.
Well, I've seen that very first show, or the Danny Thomas show that spinoff came from, and then the very first show. And this particular question didn't come from the very first show, but it came from one of the earliest shows. Mm-hmm. So one of the very first shows that was done. In this show, the housekeeper at that time was named Rose. This is before Aunt Bee came along.
Okay.
And Rose was going to get married. And Opie was very upset that Rose was leaving and Aunt Bee was coming. So in the very opening of the show, Rose gets married. Andy marries Rose and her boyfriend, and they leave. And then Aunt Bee shows up. And Aunt Bee had taken care of Andy when he was young. That's how he remembered Aunt Bee. And he wanted to bring Aunt Bee in to raise Opie. So Opie didn't like it, didn't like her. Said she didn't belong there, tried to get her to go and all the way. Opie had a bird in a cage in his room. And during this episode, Aunt Bee accidentally left the door open to the bird cage, and the bird flew away. What's the name of the bird?
Oh, my. You're asking tough ones now.
I don't think you can Google this one.
That's a good question.
Okay, so again, what was the name of the bird that Aunt Bee let fly away when she left the cage door open?
740-383-9944.
Okay, well, Andy Griffith, one of my favorite all-time shows. Of course, we all know the main character, Andy Griffith, and of course, he played Andy Taylor.
Yeah.
And, of course, his sidekick deputy was?
Barney Fife.
Barney Fife. Yeah. And, of course, Barney Fife's girlfriend's name was?
Ooh.
Just first names will do.
I can't remember.
Thelma Lou. Oh, yeah. Thelma Lou. And, of course...
sometimes she was not his girlfriend.
That's true. Yeah, they did have... Sometimes it was the gal down at the diner.
Yeah.
And Andy's girlfriend was?
Oh, gee. I guess he had two.
Well, let's go with the long-term one. Because he did have a few earlier ones. Maybe we got an answer to that.
Let's go to the phone and see if we got an answer. Hi, you're on the air.
Was it Dickie?
Oh, my word. Yes, it was Dickie. Now, let me ask you, did you know or did you try to Google it?
I know. That is everything. I know every single episode of that show.
Oh,
that is my all-time favorite show.
Well, what's your favorite?
Mr. McBeavy.
Mr. McBeavy. That was an excellent show.
Mr. McBeavy and the one where Barney goes to the auction and buys the gypsy kit and all these wishes start coming true.
Yep. Yeah.
I have Roku and I get every season.
Oh, isn't it great?
I love it.
What's your name? Yeah.
Charlene.
Charlene, okay.
Yes.
Charlene, I'm going to put your name down here, and you can come pick up a pair of, which would you prefer, the zoo or the
the wilds?
The wilds, yeah. Which?
The wilds.
The wilds. Okay, yes. I got you down. Don't come today, because I've got to ask Scott to get them out. But
okay.
We'll have them ready for you tomorrow.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So listen, before you hang up, I'm a great Andy Griffith fan, too. I watch him every day.
Okay.
So we've got Mr. McVeavy, and what was the other one you liked? Oh, and Barney bought all the stuff at the auction.
Right, bought the gypsy auction.
One of my favorite ones was when he went to one of those police auctions and bought the motorcycle.
Oh, yes, and then at the end, Andy thought he was going to come back with that tank, and he stopped the tank, and it was actually a military man.
I do remember that. They just go on and on and on. Well, I'm going to ask another. I thought this one would go a long time without
what
anybody catching.
What was the name of that bird again?
Dickie.
Dickie.
Yeah, Dickie the bird.
And then he rescued the three birds.
Oh, yes.
And their mother with a slingshot, and those were Lincoln, Blinkin', and Nod.
Lincoln, Blinkin', and Nod, yeah. Well, you know it. But I'm going to ask another one later on, so you're not eligible for this one. But I'm sure you'll know it. I'm sure you'll know it, and it was one of my favorite episodes as well. So
fantastic!
Just keep listening, and
thank you, Charlene.
If you got anything else, call in.
Yeah, talk to us.
Bye
bye. How wonderful, boy! That was quick.
See, there are other people out there that are as crazy as me for the Andy Griffith Show.
I love the Andy Griffith Show, and my wife and I watch it while we're eating dinner sometimes. But it's good. She gave a hint that where you could find it.
Yeah,
sometimes
on Roku.
You can't find it. I didn't know you could find it on
Well,
Roku.
I get it. We have DirecTV, and I get it every day. It comes on at 4 o'clock on Channel 304, which I think might be, I can't remember that network.
It is on local television, but
yeah, we get it on DirecTV.
I never can figure out what time those things
are. Well, and then for Christmas a few years ago, my wife got me like a complete DVD collection of all the Andy Griffith episodes
that were
on DVD, which I continually watch all the time.
You know.
But if you're a fan of Andy Griffith, you know the dialogue, you know all the characters, you know. The Darlings, another one of my favorite episodes is when the Darlings come to town.
The
father and with the daughter and the four sons, and they come in on the dilapidated truck. A lot of great episodes came off of that. And then, there's just so many. The English guy that came to town a couple of times and served as a butler and all that.
Yes, and I thought they were trying to work him in as a regular. But he didn't stay very long.
There were only two episodes that I remember that he was involved in. Yeah,
and he was good as an actor.
Oh, very good. Yeah,
I enjoyed his character.
Very good. Yeah,
I really.
And then of course Ernest T. Bass, who threw the rocks all the time. Another great part of that show. So anyway, Andy Griffith, great show. We did briefly mention the Danny Thomas show. I didn't watch as many of the Danny Thomas shows as I did Andy Griffith, and they're not so much in reruns. You can't hardly find them anymore, at least not on mainstream TV. You may be able to pick them up on
YouTube
or Roku or one of those things. We just recently got Netflix, so I've been able to catch some stuff on Netflix as well. So I don't have a whole lot about the Danny Thomas show that I remember. I recall just a few episodes. And of course, he had a couple of kids on the show. Rusty was one of them. I remember the boy's name was Rusty.
Yeah.
I don't remember the girl's name.
But if
anybody knows and wants to call in and share, please do so. Another early show that I watched when I was very young, and this was when I was still living in Scioto County when I grew up on the farm, and we only got one station then. And this was the Ding Dong School. Does anybody remember
the Ding Dong School?
She was a little Jewish lady that came on, and basically you were getting a little bit of an education in the morning.
Yeah.
Came on very early in the morning, I think around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, it was black and white, and I watched that on our old Crosley TV that had a round screen that was only about 12 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad came home one day. We had one of the first TVs in the neighborhood.
And what, my dad, what year was that?
That had to have been about 1955, okay. Maybe, 54, 55.
We got
55.
Ours in 52, so we
yeah,
beat
so you. Yeah, so you beat us. Well, again, we were farmers. We
Well, you didn't have any TV stations to look at.
No, that was it. We had one station. I can't remember what station it was. It was actually came out of New York, I think, and it came through one of the stations, maybe WLW.
Yeah, that's what I
But but my dad came home one day. He had been on his route. We had milk trucks on our dairy, and he had been on his route, and he stopped at some place down in Portsmouth. I don't know if it was Martings or one of the other stations, and they just come out with this thing that you put over the TV,
yes.
And it was supposed to magnify it.
Oh, magnify.
No, it was supposed to magnify
the color thing.
And really all it did was blur it.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ding Dong School, that was one of my very early shows I liked
to watch.
I bought
one of those things that you could...
That added color to it?
Supposedly added color, but yeah, all it did was blur it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we never bought one of those. But and then one of my other favorite shows in my early life was Captain Kangaroo.
Yes, love Captain Kangaroo.
Remember Captain Kangaroo?
Sure.
Of course, that was a syndicated show. Yeah. I'm not sure where that came from. I didn't try to look up to see where it came out of. But a lot of shows in those days either came out of Chicago or New York.
Yeah, I think it came out
of
Chicago.
That was probably the two biggest spots for him. Yeah. And, of course, do you remember the two main characters on Captain Kangaroo?
Yeah.
We have another phone call?
I got a message. But yes, I do, but I can see their face, but I can't remember what their name was.
Mr. Green Jeans.
Oh, of course.
He was a sidekick.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was a puppet that was a main character. Remember the puppet that was a main character?
No, I'm lost on that. Mr. Green Jeans was who was.
This was also a Mr. Mr. Moose.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Moose and Mr. Green Jeans. They were the two main characters.
Mr. Green Jeans was on every one.
He was on every episode.
Mr. Moose was in and out.
Yeah, in and out. And I think maybe Mr. Green Jeans also portrayed Mr. Moose.
Probably. Yeah.
Because I think it was kind of a low budget show and they only had a couple of guys that did all
those.
Did all the things. And then we mentioned Soupy Sales earlier, but I had it on my list that I wanted to mention Soupy Sales again. For some reason, I keep wanting to think he was an Ohio guy, but I don't know that for a fact, and maybe somebody can Google that and tell me where he was from. But for some reason, I keep thinking that he was from Ohio. But, of course,
he was
strictly slapstick stuff. He got hit in the face with a pie almost every day.
We're getting a phone call now. Let's go to the phone. Maybe this person knows. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Just a trivia question for you guys.
Okay.
Clarabelle the Clown.
What'd you say? Clarabelle
the Clown.
Yeah,
yeah, Clarabelle the Clown.
Clarabelle was on Howdy Doody.
Yeah.
Yes.
With Buffalo Bob, right.
Who was Clarabelle?
Oh.
The actual person? I don't know.
Tell us.
Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, and his name was Bob, too, wasn't it? Was his first name Bob?
I think so.
Was it Gresham or Gresham or something like that?
Captain Kangaroo.
That kind of sticks in my mind.
Yeah, he started off as Clarabelle the Clown.
You know, now that you mention that, I kind of remember that. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
What was your favorite TV show growing up?
Superhost.
Now, that one I don't know. Was that a local show?
Yeah.
Where did it come out of?
It was either Cleveland or Columbus.
Okay, it must have been Cleveland because I don't remember that at all. We didn't get stations from Cleveland where I live. So, and what was it called again?
Superhost.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Well, thanks
played,
for calling.
Played Three Stooges and that.
Oh, kind of slapstick stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Was Captain Kangaroo Bob Keeson?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate
thank you
that.
Very
You're
much.
Welcome.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You see, too. This is another thing. You can learn something here.
Absolutely.
Howdy.
I just come pick up tickets.
Oh, okay.
All right.
We're about ready to go to a break here, aren't we?
Yeah, we're about ready to go to a break. We've got about 2 minutes. And I have to find out who this gentleman is, so continue.
No problem. Well, another one of my favorite early shows, and this one came. It's not as quite as early as some of the other shows that we've been talking about. We've been kind of concentrating on shows that were more in the 50s, but this one I think came along sometime in the 60s, and this one was Green Acres, and I'm sure everybody remembers Green Acres with Eddie Albert.
Oh, yeah.
And Ava Gabor.
Yeah, that was one of my least favorite movies.
You didn't like Green Acres.
My wife is, you know, we always try to find something to watch while we're eating. I know that's bad for you.
Yeah.
But she says, let's watch Green Acres. I absolutely refuse to watch
that. Well, of course, of course, you know, he was a New York lawyer, and he was a spoiled, I think it was Ava. It was either Ava or Zsa-Zsa. I can't remember which one it was.
I think it was Zsa-Zsa.
It might have been. Yeah. I knew it was one of the Gabor sisters.
Yeah.
But he was an attorney in New York, and he wanted to get out of the hubbub, and she wanted to stay in their penthouse apartment.
Yes.
And, of course, they move out and buy a farm that's all dilapidated and run down. And, it was just a great show. And, of course, I think it kind of came because Hooterville was part of the place where they went to get their groceries and things. And I think it was a spinoff from Petticoat Junction, which also took place in Hooterville. And Sam Drucker ran the general store. And Sam Drucker was a character in Petticoat Junction as well in Green Acres. But the connection that I always think about with Green Acres, their song starts out, Green Acres is a place for me. Yeah. Farm living is a life for me.
Yeah.
There was a poem written.
We only have 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. So there was a poem written years ago about Malabar Farm, and it started off with, Malabar Farm is a place for me. And I think whoever wrote the song, Green Acres is a place for me, stole that first line from the poem, Malabar Farm, which appeared in the New Yorker magazine.
Well, we'll have more of this. You're listening to Fred Malone and Glenn Coble here on the Air. We'll have more of this after the break.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio.